give you 108.
Is the grandest thing for being is wrong, is the grandest thing for a mortal tongue, is the grandest thing that the world e'er sung, our God is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving and kind Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Father, for this day that you've given us, for the rain that you provided for us today, for just everything, Father, that you've given us in this life. We're thankful, Father, for this time we've been able to gather together to study your word. We pray, Father, that we would benefit from the study that we've had, that we would come to a better knowledge and understanding of your word and your purpose for us, Father. Heavenly Father, we're most of all so thankful for your love. We're thankful for that love that would send your only Son to this world to live a perfect life, giving us an example to go by, and then giving that life so willingly on the cross for us, that through him, through his blood, we can have redemption from our sins, to be cleansed, to have that hope of heaven when this life is over. Heavenly Father, if there's sin in our life, if there's something between us and you, Father, help us to recognize that. Help us to repent of it and to follow after you. Follow after the word that you've given to us, Father, that we can live that good and obedient life to you. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that are sick this evening, those that are we pray, Heavenly Father, that if it be your will, that you return them to better portions of their health. Father, we pray for those that are traveling away from us this time. We pray, Father, that you give them a safe journey in their travels and that you bring them back to us, Father. Heavenly Father, we're as well mindful of our military, those that serve our country, and especially those that are doing so in overseas, and we pray, Father, for their safety and for their swift return. Heavenly Father, we pray for those that represent us in our government. We pray, Father, that they would seek after your knowledge and your wisdom, that they would do things, Father, that's in accordance with your word and with your will. Heavenly Father, we're also mindful of those that preach and teach your word around the world. We pray, Father, that you would give them strength and encouragement from those around them, especially those that are doing so in very difficult situations. We pray, Father, that they will continue to spread your word to those, to all those that will hear. Father, we're thankful for the leadership that you've given the congregation here. We pray that you would be with the elders, that you would grant them wisdom in the decisions that they make and the way that they are leading and shepherding the flock here. Father, we're also thankful for Randy, for his ability to preach. We pray that you would give him continued service here, Father, that we will continue to shine forth in this community to be able to spread your word. Father, we pray that you be the one that will bring us the message this evening. We pray, Father, for a ready remembrance of those things he's prepared, and that we will take those truths, Father, and that we'll apply them to our lives. Father, as we go through the furtherance of this this time of worship this evening and throughout the remainder of our lives, Father, please protect us in this life. Help us, help to guard us against the evil one, Father, that we will know when to take the way of escape that you provide, that we will flee from those things, and that we will look to you for all the guidance and comfort that that we need. Father, we just pray all these things through the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just yesterday, a friend of mine that I was at Florida College with, very close in age, in the same class, passed away from cancer. His name is Tony Mock, and some of you may know that name. He's a preacher. He lived in Auburn for a while. I want to read you something that he wrote in June, and he had a very advanced kind of cancer that really affected him quite quickly. And you know what can you say about something like that when it happens? I wanted you to hear what he posted, you know, just several months ago about his diagnosis. So I wanted to talk about my diagnosis and perspective. In reality, my diagnosis was what it was yesterday and the day before that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34, daily stand before me continually. And as the mount to be scaled. I have just have the promise of today, nothing more. That never changes regardless of what news or tragedy or trouble is introduced into my life on any given day. What does this mean in my life for today? How can I change it or how can I make it better? What constructive thing can I do with this situation today? We must not be so terminal in our thinking about our days here. I will preach exactly as many sermons and help as many people as the Lord wants me to do. There has never been a question about my days or yours. The uncertainty is with us, not with Him. Our times are in His hand. He is most aware of the very first and the very last breath that we will ever take here. He knows the conversations I have yet to have. Spending much time in prognosis or diagnosis may actually promote a false security and distract from higher God-honoring goals. For as long as we breathe here, as His instrument, you know, must be the pursuit. It's that simple, whether there are 2 days, 10 days, 100 days, or 1,000 days. And you know, I don't know what commentary to make about that, except that it was been posted and reposted. And you know, what an excellent thing for someone who could be so wrapped up in emotion and why me at that point in his life. to be the kind of example and realize that, you know, I was never promised a certain number of days. And I'm just going to use whatever He gives me, and whenever that's extinguished, you know, it's extinguished. So that's been on my mind quite a bit. Number one, he's a classmate of mine, and knew him very, very well, and we didn't stay in touch a whole lot after FC, but I've seen him here and there and had some conversations with him. But somebody that has spent his life preaching the gospel and has been a great influence. So if you see that name posted somewhere, you'll have some idea of who that was and the good man that he was. But that being said, I want to read from Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, where we see a miracle of Jesus, where he calmed the storm. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took with him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the storm, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Why do you still have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And so this miracle, you know, happened the same day that he had told some other parables. And it really is interesting here that the disciples were rebuked here after the sea was calmed. But in the calming of the sea, his power over nature and his, you know, interest certainly in the needs of those that were in trouble is displayed here. But the disciples were filled with fear when the storm arose. I can't help but compare that to how Tony Mock could have responded in the midst of a storm in his life. He didn't seem to have fear. And I imagine he had lots of emotions. But here we see that those in the midst of the storm, at least they knew where to turn, didn't they? They turned to Christ. And, you know, they knew where they needed to go. And oftentimes, you know, the sea is used as a symbol of distress. You know, we talk about the storms of life, or, you know, that we're being knocked around by the waves of the sea. And so, you know, it's one of those things that often denotes helplessness, or, you know, something that we cannot control. And so there often is fear in these kind of things. Fear can sometimes paralyze people, like it did the one talent man who went out and buried the talent that he was given and did nothing with it. And fear often has an effect on people in a negative way. It keeps people from obeying the gospel. Maybe they're afraid of their family. Maybe they're afraid of ridicule, or they're afraid that they can't live up to it. And so the great thing that we see here in this account is that the remedy of fear is the Savior. That Christ is the one that needs to be turned to. And I would imagine that if Tony did not have the Lord in his life, death would have a totally different effect. That the fear of death, the fear of sickness, the fear of not being ready, that would be a very real emotion. But the remedy is faith in the Savior, and that's what we see the people that are afraid, they turn turn to Jesus. And really, you know, what does Jesus tell them? That I'm here. I'm here. You didn't need to be afraid. You need to have faith. So really, the fear didn't need to be there when the Lord is in His holy temple, when the Lord is there. And so the antidote of fear is really faith. And I took such great encouragement and introspection on reading some of the things in the past day that people have said about Tony, and it really made me sad in a lot of ways for those that were so close to me. It also made me sorry that I hadn't kept in touch with him more over the years. But we certainly were acquainted and have the same hope, and that is something that ties us together. And we have so many people posted about others that have passed on, and now they're able to be with each other again. And that we can be the same way. And those that have gone on before, we can be reunited with. He happened to pass away on the same day that Angie, my sister-in-law, who died 3 years ago, when she passed away, and a lot of you remember that and prayed for her and her condition. She also, passed away from cancer at a young age. But 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So I hope that you will go away remembering that verse instead of remembering Randy sure was a downer tonight and depressing. I want you to remember that Tony is reaping the reward of everything that he's worked for. And he is being an encouragement, and he being dead still speaks, as we're told in Revelation. What will be remembered about us? Hopefully we can be an encouragement in death just as we are in life to others, to encourage others to follow the will of God. And what a great encouragement it is to go back and read some of the brave things that he wrote as he was grappling with what was ahead of him. And when we look at this passage in Mark chapter 4, we see that we need trust in Jesus. They needed trust in Jesus. We need trust in God. Jesus was able to sleep during the storm. Peter, in Acts chapter 12, we see Peter sleeping. He's in prison. He's waiting, probably going to be executed the next day. Usually fear of death will prevent sleeping. He wasn't afraid. Trust in God and take advantage of the sacrifice of God so that you can face death with confidence. And so when you read this passage about stilling the tempest, I think there's a message in that whatever the waves are in your life, whatever the storm is, that there is a way to still the tempest. There is a way to calm the storm. And it's when you have Jesus on board with you that He can calm the storm. Whatever the storm is in your life, whether you are facing death or whatever it is that might be going on, that we have that anchor in our life and we can face anything with hope and confidence. So I hope I'll leave that with you tonight. If you don't have that hope, certainly you can take care of that by being obedient to Jesus Christ and being buried in baptism, arising to walk a new life. If we can help you in any way, please come off stand and sing.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time, especially grateful that you are our King, our Father, and no one can compare to you. Thank you for all you give us, our jobs and homes, physical things that help us enjoy life here. Also the spiritual blessings of your grace, mercy, and love, and for salvation through Jesus. We ask at this time that you please restore health to those who are sick. Please continue to be with those we regularly pray for those who aren't with us tonight. Be with the Biddles and help them get back home safely. Forgive us of our sins and give us the peace that comes from knowing you are in control of all things. Please let us meet here at the next point in time, if it be your will. Most of all, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to this earth to die on the cross for the remissions of our sins. Through his name we pray. Amen.